Today on Real Life Radio.
Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely have you received, freely give. Church family, listen, there's no expiration date on that verse. You see, well, I haven't seen anybody raised from the dead. I haven't either, but it doesn't mean that it cannot happen.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
In a time when our culture is increasingly hostile to the teachings of the Bible and the traditional values they impart, Christians face the challenge of being labeled intolerant, offensive, and homophobic. How can we approach controversial topics with both reason and tact? In Correct, Not Politically Correct, author Frank Turek tackles the sensitive topics of same-sex marriage and transgenderism, addressing common arguments about equal rights, discrimination, tolerance, and being born a certain way. This powerful and insightful book firmly yet respectfully defends biblical truth about sexual identity, marriage, and gender. Don't bury your head in the sand, but learn to stand with a biblical worldview. You can receive Correct, Not Politically Correct, when you make a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life today. Visit jackhibbs.com or call 877-777-2346. Order now.
On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called 1 Corinthians with a message titled, Who Makes a Church Relevant? Part 3. 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth and shares with us how Jesus didn't leave us powerless. You see, Jesus gave each believer the power of the Holy Spirit. We have different gifts, different ministries and functions, but the same Lord and the same Holy Spirit is at work in our lives. However, we're not to chase the signs and wonders of the Holy Spirit and miss the teaching of the gospel. A relevant church is made up of believers who share their gifts, but will honor God by advancing His salvation message. Now, in his message called Who Makes a Church Relevant? Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
When you ask God to bestow or to magnify the gift that He's appropriated for you, He will not speak to you, He will not manifest it unless you are truly willing to use it. He will not, you cannot say, God, give me all the gifts! And you don't intend to use one of them. You're not willing to really use one of them. He won't answer you. Are you willing? The gift of wisdom. Wisdom is this application. It is the bringing of God's knowledge to light in a situation. There is a general wisdom that's available to every believer. Listen, in James, we've all read it. In James chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask from God. That's the general request of every believer. That's not this gift. Every one of us as Christians have amazing wisdom available to us if we ask God. But this wisdom is a special, elevated gift by God, and it's at work in a body. That is, some of you right here have it. And you see the answer to things. It's amazing. It's exciting. Solomon seemed to have, even though he obviously predated the New Testament gift, the Holy Spirit was giving gifts in the Old Testament, though. Think about it. Did Solomon not have, the Bible says he's the wisest guy that's ever lived. And the Bible says God gave him that wisdom. Did you know that the Holy Spirit, I think his name was Beziel, I'm going off of ancient, dusty memory here, you guys. I think his name was Beziel, the stone cutter during the temple building period. Did you know the Bible says that the Holy Spirit gave him the gift of stone cutting? God gifted this guy for the building of the temple to cut stones. Isn't that freaky weird? Now, that's not a gift listed in the New Testament, but the Holy Spirit will use someone with a divine gift to bring about his holy construction, if I can put it that way. The next thing is this, mark it down if you would. The next thing is, who makes the church relevant? The answer is you do, if you have the gift of knowledge. The gift of knowledge. What is the gift of knowledge? Look at this verse right here, verse 9. And to another is the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. The word knowledge here is where we get the word, or comes out of the word gnosis. Or you've heard of agnostic, agnostic, a person who believes that there's a God, but he can't be known. That's an agnostic. An agnostic says that, yeah, there could be a God out there, but he can't be known. It's kind of a weird thing, agnostic. We get the, by the way, we get the English word ignoramus from the root word agnostic. That's kind of interesting, huh? Kind of wild, but that's not the word we're talking about today. We're talking about gnosis, and it means the knowing or having knowledge given to you by God, not from earthly means. It comes from God, and it's deposited in you in that moment. The factual knowledge of something that is not humanly available. It's interesting because in the Greek, one of the words that appears, listen to this, is the knowledge of something that is revealed from God to understand something around you. And the word that is dropped in there in the meaning of the Greek is the word science. That's a far cry from what we often see today. Science is the study of something that is tangible. You can reproduce it. You can do it. You can watch it. You can apply it. Isn't it amazing that God, who's the engineer of science, put it in the hearts of men and women to love science and to search it out and to find these wonderful mysteries that have been locked away? And God brings them out. The same thing is true regarding your function as a Christian in the church. You might want to ask the Lord, Lord, do you want me to have the word of knowledge? And say, well, what is that? What you will, just as the person, and by the way, sometimes they'll work hand in hand. They'll often work, by the way, in a project together, in an effort together among other believers, where there's a word of wisdom and then a word of knowledge. And a word of knowledge will be something like this. Somebody will say, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's in a message, maybe it's in a time of prayer and waiting upon the Lord, or like an afterglow setting. You might be here praying, God, I just don't know what to do about this whole thing. Do I sell the house and take that job? Do I do this? Do I move this stuff here and then divide part of it? And you're just right there, right? And someone in the room or someone you're talking to, God gives them this thought and they say it. They say, well, you know what? We've seen it happen here before on a Wednesday night when we have our afterglow settings, where someone will say, there's someone here tonight and they're asking, I believe they're asking God if they should be doing this thing or that thing, and it's very detailed. And you're going, oh my goodness, whoa, could this be the word of knowledge? And they'll say, the Lord in the scripture has said thus, 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 thus. So it will always be purely biblical, never contradict the scripture ever. You, when that person's done speaking it, you can find a chapter and verse that confirms it. The Holy Spirit cannot change. It's impossible for him to change what the word has revealed. It deposits into the listener's heart this amazing understanding of what they should do. And the body is strengthened. You hear it, you say it, this guy needs it, he receives it, he tells his friends or the small group or the Wednesday night group. You know what happened? Last week, this was said. That was the answer to my dilemma. It was a word of knowledge. God be glorified. And everybody goes, yes. The body of Christ is edified. I love it. The next thing is this. Who makes the church relevant? You do if you have the gift of faith. This is amazing. I hope you get some answers out of this. This is great. The gift of faith. You say, Pastor, wait a minute. Don't we all have the gift of faith? We're believers. No, that's not what we're talking about. We are not talking about saving faith. We're not talking about faith that a person comes to Jesus and puts trust in him. The gift of faith is an amazing thing. First of all, the definition of it is a strong persuasion, a deep conviction, a special, abnormal reliance upon God. Listen, it's elevated faith. The word means to be displayed. Listen, through danger, suffering, evil, challenges, hardship. It is a profound faith which enables someone to endure otherwise impossible situations. Now, all of a sudden, I see something about this gift of faith. Have you met, do you know people? I know them. Whose life, they love Jesus, They're doing everything right, and their life is filled with trouble. I don't mean trouble brought on them because they licked the wall socket and blew their eyeballs out. That's stupidity. I'm not talking about those kinds of troubles. I'm talking about they're battling cancer. A friend of mine went home to be with Jesus a year and a half ago. And 1 year after she was married, she came down, she had cancer. She battled cancer almost 30 years, 7 different forms of cancer. She looked like a doll that had been sewn back to pieces. She finally went home to see Jesus. That woman's faith made me sick to my stomach with embarrassment. Lisa and I would get in the car and drive away from the hospital, and we'd look at each other and say, do we even know the same God she knows? You ever know anybody like that? They are so rock solid, firm, and sure, and they've gone through all this trouble, and their faith glows. And what does it do to you when you meet that person? What does it do to you when you experience that person? You experience this. I know that if I'm called to do that, God will see me through. When you see that kind of a person who's got the gift of faith, listen, I don't know how to break it to you. If you have the gift of faith, unusual faith, you will be displaying mightily the power of God to sustain you, to keep you through endurance. It's a natural question for people to say, why do some people in the church suffer so much and others don't? Some of them, it's because they have the gift of faith. And the world and the church is watching them lay hold of the promises of God in ways that you and I might struggle with. Amen. Are you struggling today? You might want to ask God, are you telling me that I have the gift of faith? That you've given me an amazing ability to trust you against all circumstances, that my faith does not waver and I stand sewn back together upon the rock, and I'm not going to move, Lord. I'm going to hang on to you. Is that what you've called me to do? And the Lord might say to you, that's exactly what I've called you to do. And that's when you and I say, yes, Lord. Amen. We are Christians, and we follow Jesus into every aspect of his life whereby he calls us to be a witness of him. He's amazing. Faith. The Bible says in Matthew 14:27, this is an example of faith, supercharged faith. Or faithfulness. But immediately Jesus, when he spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered Jesus and said to him, remember, Jesus is walking on water, Peter's in the boat. Peter said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. What a bizarre request. So he answered and said, come. And Peter came down out of the boat and walked on the water to go to Jesus. That is a revelation of the gift of faith right in that moment. A troublesome, difficult situation. The boat was going to sink in their minds. The storm was huge. This is impossible. I can never get out of this situation. I'm going to go down. I'm going to sink. And the Lord might say something to you. He might say something like, be encouraged, or I'm with you. Maybe you have a thought in your mind and he says, I'll never leave you. And then you respond, Lord, if that's you, I'm coming. If that's you, I'm stepping out, Lord. If that's you, I'm gonna take this leap right now, Lord. And guess what? He has put that whole prompting in your heart and you step in faith.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Next, look at this. Next, who makes the church relevant? You do, if you have the gift of healings. Circle the word healings. The S is plural. This is amazing. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And in this is the gifts of healings. Healings here. The word means to present whole again. The word means to restore to the original or to normal. Listen, the word also means to restore to life. That's why the word is plural here. It's not only to pray for someone that they might be healed. But the Bible here, and this works so perfectly, didn't Jesus tell the disciples, the apostles, when you go preach the gospel? I'll read it here in a moment. But he sent them out to do all these great works. And one of them was not only heal the sick, but to raise the dead. Amen. That's awesome. Healings that bring honor and glory to God. And it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. Healings. Now watch this. When we talk about healings, think of this. Matthew chapter 10, verse 7, as you go preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, as you go, preach the kingdom, that is the gospel, Jesus came or Jesus is coming, in this case, it was real time, and your sins are gonna be forgiven you. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, freely have you received, freely give. Church family, listen, there's no expiration date on that verse. You say, well, I haven't seen anybody raised from the dead. I haven't either, but it doesn't mean that it cannot happen. It may have happened somewhere in the world where it's very remote and the word of God is not there yet, but there's a believer there. And the signs and wonders that are done by the believers give confirmation to the preaching and teaching of the word. See, today we're messed up. We are so polluted with the way that we think in our culture because we chase the miracles and signs and wonders and we miss the gospel. We miss the doctrine. People are saying, come to the healing service. Come to the miracle service. And if the gospel's not preached, I'm worried. Well, pastor, whatever, I don't care. I got my eyesight back at a thing like that. It was really goofball and they didn't talk about Jesus, but it happened. Listen, I don't know how you got healed, but the Bible's very clear that there's ways, there are manifestations that can take place that have nothing to do with God. Did you hear that? The Bible says as we approach the end, that's gonna increase. Deceiving miracles. But just because there's deceiving miracles doesn't mean that God is out of the business of doing miracles himself. The Bible says in Acts chapter 9, verse 40, but when Peter put them all out of the room, he knelt down and he prayed and he turned to the body, that's the dead body, and he said, Tabitha, arise, and she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. That'll freak you out. But you know what's cool? It didn't freak Peter out, apparently, because Peter knew enough. He copied Jesus. He watched Jesus. Jesus had everybody get out of the room, and he had Peter, James, and John there, and he prayed, and the young man arose. In this case, Peter's got a young maiden, and he prays for her, and she arises. And I don't think Peter went, oh my gosh, can you believe this happened? James, John, get in here. No way. What caused him to pray was the root, I believe God can do this. Do you believe that? Do you believe God can do the radical stuff? Yeah. Just because we don't see it much doesn't mean he's not willing to do it or able to do it. You see why it's so important that you and I have a revival in our lives to see what God wants to do? Well, I don't think he's gonna do that in my life. Well, you're exactly correct. Next thing. Who makes the church relevant? You do if you have the gift of miracles. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all in this area of miracles. The word miracles here, dunamis, you've heard that word before. It means supernatural powers. Some of your Bibles don't even have the word miracle in it. Some of your Bibles have the word powers. And that's okay. The original Greek word is powers. But it's the powers to do miraculous things. And miraculous things, it's not like winning the lotto or getting the, no. Man, tell you have the gift of miracles, give the numbers for the next, no, that's not what it is. The Bible says in Matthew 11, verse 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffers violence. That's a negative statement. The kingdom of God's under attack, but the violent take it by force. I want you to look at that verse. By the way, you guys, this is one of the most avoided verses in Christendom today because a lot of people don't take the time to understand this. You guys are going to master this in a moment. From the days of John the Baptist was preaching the gospel and he was not well received. Until now, Jesus was speaking. The kingdom of heaven, that's the preaching of the gospel, the kingdom of heaven, suffers violence. It's under attack. Ladies and gentlemen, is not your faith under attack today? You will be attacked. This world will not be friends of the gospel. But don't worry. Don't be upset. Why? The violent take it by force. What does that mean? It doesn't mean what you're thinking. It doesn't mean that we are to rise up and conquer in a physical sense, it means this is beautiful because it's a double statement. One is in the negative, the church is under attack. But the church in the positive advances. How does that happen? the violent take it by force. You and I are supposed to be the church militant in the earth today. Amen. That doesn't mean throw rocks or cut off people's heads. That's for others to do. That's not what we do. What we do is we take the word of God, we believe it, and we advance the kingdom of God by faith and obedience in the word of God and the Lord Jesus, and we love our enemies, we preach the truth, we stand for what's right, we advance the kingdom by our salt and lightness of being a believer. The violent is not a negative. It is the positive. The aggressive, the believer truly believing it takes it forward. That's what it means. Sign me up. That's what I want. That's what we want to have happen in our lives. And the kingdom, guess what? The kingdom of God will, it will advance. By the way, it will advance with or without you and I. Remember, the kingdom was going to go ahead with or without Esther. You and I have been brought into the kingdom for such a time as this, is the Bible. The next thing is this. The gift of prophecy. Who makes the church relevant? You do if you have the gift of prophecy. Now, let me tell you, the gift of prophecy, the word means this. Having the ability to both proclaim something that comes to pass in honor of God, to proclaim it, and the ability to put forth or to present a revelation from God. Let me tell you what it doesn't mean, so you can all be set at ease. The word prophecy here does not mean to foretell the future. Maybe some of you say, oh man, I want that gift. I want to be able to know the future. That's not what it means. The word prophecy here means to forthtell, not foretell, forthtell the word of God, the truth of God. So when we talk about prophecy, it's the ability to proclaim a God-given gift whereby a person has no supernatural problem. Hear me out. He or she has no supernatural problem standing up or getting behind a microphone or standing on the street corner or talking to somebody at the store and proclaiming the truth of God. The gift of prophecy. In fact, the gift of prophecy is happening right here, right now, as it's proclaimed. Billy Graham is the Greg Laurie, the gift of prophecy. Chuck Smith, you see, those are teaching gifts. No, listen, some of the gifts overlap one another. To proclaim, to make known the revelation of God. This is very needed today in an age where the word of God is often rejected.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Who Makes a Church Relevant, Part 3. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians. It's a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Well, everybody, it is an election year. And I don't know what your pastor talks about in election year, but I just keep doing the same thing over and over again as a pastor that happens to be in America. I know our history and I know our culture today. And we need God back in our country. We need God back in our decision-making as a nation. Our leaders have gone astray. The decisions that they've made and those that we have sent to office are sending this country headlong into great, great peril. We're asking for God's mercy to be extended upon this nation, that God would be merciful to us as believers, merciful to us as a country, merciful to us as a state. May God visit you wherever you may be, my friend, that he would have his mercy upon us, that we might once again hear the word of God proclaimed from coast to coast, from border to border, in Jesus' name.
Looking for an inspiring way to pass some time? Or maybe just need some help to get through your workday? How about listening while you work? The Jack Hibbs Podcast brings you real stories, real people with real life experiences. From inspiring journeys to thought-provoking conversations, we've got it all. So discover a world of knowledge, laughter, and connection. The Jack Hibbs Podcast and so much more are available on our website at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com, where faith meets real life.
You know, Jack Hibbs truly believes that we are living in some of the most exciting days in history. which brings some great opportunities to share with the world a powerful, no-nonsense presentation of the gospel to this generation who, by the way, are really searching for answers and for truth. Will you stand with us in sharing this message in real and practical ways? We ask that you commit to support Real Life and the teachings of Jack Hibbs with a gift of your choosing. Simply go to jackhibbs.com. There you'll find instructions on how to give a one-time gift or a recurring gift. If you'd prefer to call, here's that phone number, 877-777-2346. One more time, 877-777-2346. Your gift will be faithfully put to work because it's our desire that through Jesus Christ, you will know real life. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.